And he said, they're working on something with people from all over the universe. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I said, can you go into that? He said, I can't. He asked me, he goes, do you think aliens would ruin God for a lot of people? And I said, this is what I said, the church, yes, it would. I said, but the world, no. Because...
Welcome back to another episode of Offbeat POV. My name is Chin, and I'm joined by my lovely co-host Fatani and Pronek.
It's good to be back. Very excited for today's episode. Absolutely excited.
Indeed. I feel like this guy was supposed to do like a bit too much.
Okay, okay. And Pronek, Pronek is very excited. I'm very excited as well.
Best behavior.
I'm very excited as well because we have some very, very special guests with us all the way from Chicago. From the US of A, or in Indiana. Is Indiana the same as Indianapolis?
No.
Yeah, Indianapolis is the capital. Close enough. We're a little bit northwest there, but yeah, close enough.
Very much. Geography.
Yeah. Anyway, we have a lovely guest all the way from the US of A, Kyle and Ben from the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast. Kyle and Ben, welcome to Offbeat POV. How are you guys?
Doing great. Thank you guys very much for having us on. It's a privilege. So I look forward to our conversation today.
Fantastic. Now, the reason I'm excited to have Kyle and Ben on is because I came across their podcast, which is an interesting podcast because they deal with things that I love talking about. Right. So, for example, I'll give you an example, right? Just to go through some of the episodes, some of the type of things that they deal with. Right. So we have giants. And then, is it Nephilim War? Nephilim?
Yeah, Nephilim.
Nephilim. Nephilim is the right way to say it.
Yeah.
You have stuff like
Genesis Bigfoot. Genesis 6, man.
You have stuff like Bigfoot, demons, and ghosts. And of course, aliens, which is what we're going to be talking about on today's podcast. But another interesting one that they had was one titled, Where Do We Go When We Sleep? Now, I've never thought about that question before.
I just thought I stayed in my bed.
Yeah, I closed my eyes and stayed in my bed and pray to God I wake up the next day.
I've never thought about that question before, it was a title of the episode. So,
don't stay in our bed.
Well, your body does, but I'm not sure your brain does.
Well, what I will say is that if any of those topics, guys, if any of those topics sound interesting to you, check out that podcast, the Tinfoil Hat Club podcast. I listen to them on Spotify, but I'm sure we can find you everywhere, right?
Yeah, we're on every major streaming platform. We also have our own website, thetfhc.com.
Okay, fantastic. Yeah,
so you can check us out anywhere.
Yeah, fantastic. Well, but today... we have Kyle and Ben. So we are going to fire a bunch of questions at you. And forgive us, if you're talking and we interject with a different question, it's just because we're very excited.
And we're going to try not to do that, though.
It's because we're very excited. So then, let's get into today's conversation. Yeah. So the big question that we're going to circle, I guess, is if aliens did exist.
Do exist.
If aliens did or do exist, would they disprove or challenge the God? I mean, not the God or the Bible in any way, right? Now, we're going to circle around it, but that's the central theme. So before we dive in then, we have this thing called Poll of the Week, right? So it's simple. All right. Don't look at the answers. It's simple. So
no cheating for Tani.
So a poll was put out. So I'm going to ask what the poll is. I mean, I'm going to tell you guys what the poll is. And then you guys just tell me what you think the most common answer was. Yeah. It's simple. It's a very simple thing. So the poll of the question was, and over 5,000 people were asked this question, right? And it was, do you think we will see aliens in our lifetime? So there's yes, no, and there's already have.
Ooh, that complicates things.
Yeah. So let's go to our guest first. Maybe we'll go with Ben first. So out of yes, no, already have, what do you think got the most vote?
I'll say already have.
Already have. Okay. Okay. Interesting, Kyle.
100% already have. Yeah. Wow. I won't say 100% answered that way, but I'm saying that the most popular is definitely already
have. Okay. Okay. Fine. Pronik?
I think the most popular answer is no.
No? Okay. So do you think we'll see aliens in our lifetime? Mm. You're saying no?
Yeah. I think no. Yeah.
No? Okay. Fatsani?
No, yeah.
Fatsani?
I think people said yes.
People said yes. Okay. An array of answers there. Well, I can reveal that, like I said, over 5,000 people asked. Yes, no, already have. With over 3,300 votes, the answer was no.
Yeah, gotcha.
Wow.
But
already have. We are
on the fringe.
But listen, that's the poll. And I guess it depends who you ask as well. Yes. But
5,000 is not exactly a large number of people, is it, in comparison?
Yeah.
But okay.
Yeah, it's what, about 65%?
Exactly.
Okay.
Somewhere in that neighborhood, 65%.
Try feeding that many people with one fish. It's a lot of people. A lot of people.
Okay. All right. So let's stop tonight, then. Right?
So what was that?
I said, but you can do greater miracles even than I, right? As far as Christ, you told us that, right?
There you go.
There you go. That's a great answer to that. So let's start from there then. Mm. So, and I like the fact that both Kyle and Ben went already have, and they were very sure about it as well. So then, because people have claimed to see aliens and been abducted by aliens and stuff like that. So I'm going to keep my questions as vague as possible because I want, this is what these guys do, right? So I want them to do what they do. Mm. Why were you both so sure that the answer was already have?
Go ahead. go into the gunfire, Ben.
Go. Well,
you first.
I mean, over here, I guess, in our neck of the world, It's aliens is an everyday thing. Everybody talks about it.
Yeah.
It's crazy the amount of, we're saturated with this stuff. It's like, it's in the news cycle every day. Mm. If not every day, at least every other day, it's just constantly boom, boom, you know, and when your government's talking about it, having hearings on it, I believe there's something otherworldly, whether it's, you know, aliens, demons, angels, ALF, you know, or Transformers, something is, you know, something's happening that is preparing for something bigger and greater.
Yes.
Or terrible.
Yes.
And we have to be mindful of that. And we have to know where we stand biblically when things happen. Mm-hmm. If I work with this guy and we talk conspiracies and everything. It's just not Kyle. It's a guy I work with at work. And he asked me, he goes, do you think aliens would ruin God for a lot of people? Mm-hmm. And I said, this is what I said. The church, yes, it would. I said, but the world, no. Mm. Because the church is so focused on one thing. They are not focused on the life going on around people. They're constantly trying to keep it very law, you know, structured around law. They threw out Eastern thought a long time ago. The Western church did anyway. Mm. And so I like to think that when you have an open mind with things, you have a better advantage of, oh yeah, that's not good, but I need to check scripture and see what it says.
Mm. Yeah.
How about you, Kyle?
Yeah.
For me, I think he hit something really early on, and we had kind of already talked, and we kind of knew how this discussion was going to go a little bit because there's no way around it. Mm. First of all, our government, I would say if you polled Americans and you asked them out of, you know, every American, what percentage of us trusted our government, I would be shocked if 10% of the people or 20% of the people told you that they trusted the government. Mm-hmm. I think that for me personally, I think that we've had technology for a long, long time. I think this goes back a long, long time. The most famous out there in the whole world is probably Roswell, New Mexico. I think a lot of people are familiar with that story from back in the late 40s, right after the war, I do believe. And there's been a lot of really credible people that have come forward and said, I've personally had my hands on this stuff, or I've worked on it, or I work for a government subcontractor and they were given a contract to do X. Fighter pilots, you know, Navy fighter pilots who are rather competent people, right? Mm. You don't typically let loose cannons behind a couple million dollar aircraft who have tracked this thing, right? Mm. And have the government and the Navy is now releasing video of these craft. And more is coming to light. And it just seems strange that there's like this whole disclosure movement, it seems like, that's starting to move forward with us kind of warming people up to the idea that these things are real. Now, the million-dollar question is, what are they? Mm-hmm. You know, and I know we're going to get into that, but that's why I believe what I do. Mm. So for me, I think it kind of surprises me. Now that I guess the question I would have for you back is that poll, where was that poll focused on? Was that just UK or was that kind of broader than that?
Mm. Well, request denied. I don't know. I'm not sure what demographic of people it was. So yeah, I can't answer that question per se.
It would be interesting to run that here in the U.S. to see
exactly
how we broke down. I think we would probably be, and I can't say for 100% certain, but I would think that we would be a little higher, a little bit more askew to one direction.
Honestly, I want to agree with you on that. I think it's quite interesting what you say. Just to go outside a little bit, we talk about environment and we talk about societies. I find it interesting. He's saying that for them, aliens are an everyday talk. Mm-hmm. When was last we were around a place where we were talking about aliens, especially in the news, we are more worried about Rishi Sunak saying something he should have said in parliament, you know? So for us, we haven't been around that, you know, and I find it interesting because I'm forced to agree with you because you remember I said not so long ago, like last week, I was telling Chinde that, you know, it's come out that Simpsons predicted a lot of the stuff that are coming out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Donald Trump and now the vision goggles thing. So I actually do agree strongly with that. There's a reason as to why these things are fed into the society or fed into the media, mm-hmm. fed into people's minds. Mm-hmm. You know, I do believe they are, you know, preparing you for something. I do believe there are intentions behind it. An argument I always make with these two is that, especially from believers' point of view, I think sometimes we forget or downplay aspects of the Bible, such as the evil one is at work, you know, the spirit of the devil that is moving in the earth, doing certain stuff, you know, the clear deception that we know is happening or is going to happen, you know. So I do agree with that aspect, that there is something going on, especially in America, that's the focal point of the world. Okay. But is that thing aliens?
Well, I guess not.
If they are aliens, I think I would agree with Ben. Could be to do maybe demons or something.
I guess my question would be... go on, Ben.
To answer your thing about The Simpsons, you know, I know they're crazy, but there's a passage in Amos that says God reveals everything to his prophets, whether they're good or not. Mm. God's revealing things to people. Because remember when the children of Israel were going marching and Balaam, he was a bad dude. He prophesied for them.
Yeah, yeah.
For God to them. Mm. So
I think
God
Ben just said Homer good or bad a people.
No,
hey, you never know. I'm keeping that door open.
Yeah.
Happening. Especially we just had this conversation like right before the show. Something's happening in Hollywood that is strange.
Mm. Yeah, it's a very dark place. One of the things that you definitely find, first of all, you know, it was going to be kind of interesting for us to see how you guys viewed when we said to you some of the things that we were going to say today are about our own country. Mm. I think the vast majority of Americans, you know, have it's not the people here that are bad. It's the government that's bad. And we are not the shining light on the hill that everybody thinks that we are. Unfortunately, I wish I could tell you that, but it's just not the case. You compare what we do and what we've allowed, and you look at scripture, and it's just, there's just no way we can't get there. But moreover than that, really what we're talking about is predictive programming.
Yes.
And I think it's very two-way street. I think Hollywood and the CIA specifically for me, first of all, the CIA is the most evil organization on the face of the earth. And that's saying something compared to what we know is out there. I will stand by that. I can provide clear-cut examples that have been declassified that you can go read about the CIA and things that they've done. And that just continues on today. But, you know, with that, I think that there's a very controlled movement between them and between Hollywood to do the predictive programming and put these things in front of us. But I also think this, I think sometimes they look at the creativity of Hollywood and they go, that's a really good idea. We should do that. And we know that's a fact because we have record of them pulling together writers and high-level writers and high-level directors from Hollywood and sitting down and going, hey, we want to prepare for scenarios that we can't really dream up. What can you come up with that we can prepare for or that we should do?
Right.
Those meetings have happened. We know that's a fact. So, and I know Fatani, she's been really patient to get in there. I'd love to hear what she thinks about this. Sorry, but yes, go on. I just wanted to talk that because it highlights a lot of what's going on here, because I think it is getting pushed and it's going to start getting pushed your direction. If it seems like it hasn't already, it's going to happen.
I think your last point is where my curiosity lies. Is at the minute it seems quite localized to you guys, your end. No one else is really having that conversation per se. Should they be having that conversation? I couldn't tell you at the minute. What would need to happen for that conversation to become global? Because like you said, if we were to do this poll in different continents, obviously if we do that poll in the UK, the answer is going to be very different. If we do that poll in Africa, the answers will be very different. If we do that poll in America where you guys are, the answers will be very different and then seem very contradictory to the rest of the world based on what you guys are experiencing your end. So I suppose biblically, where does that fit in with any sort of timelines or teachings as to how that will then manifest play out to all the world?
Go ahead.
Have you guys all seen the Avengers movies?
Yes.
Yeah.
Big fans. Big fans. Okay.
now let's think about this for a moment. Let's say Thanos is Christ. And he is taking half the population of the universe with him. He raptures them.
Yeah.
The Avengers are the bad guys.
So you're saying Hollywood's kind of flipped it on its head?
Yeah, Hollywood has flipped it on its head where we Earthlings have to stop the force that is coming to rapture people. I'm not saying there's a rapture.
It's an interesting
long. Oh my days!
The two brain cells I had left have just gone.
Oh my days! I never thought of that. I was about to say,
Stoke, you're hurting my brain. interesting. Carry on.
That is not absurd.
After this episode, with that mindset,
I told you there was something wrong with that Captain America.
This whole movie is gonna change.
Okay, carry on.
That's a long-standing trick of Hollywood, actually, if you think about it, right? To use biblical concepts and either flip it on its head or give it to you directly as it was, because you got like The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, which was C.S. Lewis, Christian. Lord of the Rings, which was Tolkien, who was a friend of C.S. Lewis, Christian. And the characters that are inside of that are represented by biblical characters. There's a very kind of correlative aspect of these movies when you go watch them. Like I think the most obvious is probably The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, where the lion is actually Christ.
Yeah,
right?
That's,
you know, But Hollywood, and again, if you go look at a lot of things that are going on in the music industry and the movie industry and a lot of the things that the people are doing, it is like becoming more and more overtly demonic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Every day. Mm-hmm. I mean, the things that these people are involved with and the things that they say and that they do, and a lot of the symbology that they throw up is demonic.
Mm. Oh, okay, so I want to touch on a question that I think it's been alluded to, but I just want to dive a little bit deeper. Mm. So we're looking at, I guess, the spirit behind these things that are happening. Mm. And one thought, of course, is say that all these aliens that it's usually Americans that Americans witness and whatnot are the works of demons and everything. Is that something that you guys, what are your thoughts on that? I guess maybe it's the best way I should phrase it. Do you think that's likely what's going on?
It could be. I mean, Jesus did warn us there will be signs and wonders in the sky. Mm. What is it? You know, is it aliens? Is it our government? Is it our government working with aliens? I mean, and when I say our government, I mean, it could be a global government, mm. which I can, this, I'll tell a quick story. I've told it on the show. Mm-hmm. I was in Las Vegas for a bachelor party. A friend of mine met one of his friends that worked with the government secretly on something. Mm. And he said, they're working on something with people from all over the universe. Mm. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. I said, can you go into that? He said, I can't. Now, I don't think this guy would make that up because he was more interested in what I did. Hmm. And I had a very boring job. he wasn't even allowed to have a cell phone, mm-hmm. a personal cell phone. He could not have one. And I wanted to get to know him better afterwards. And they were like, oh, he's not allowed to have a cell phone. And he was British and he was working in Texas at the time. So,
question.
That just goes to show that what
was his use of the word universe interchangeable with world, or he communicated and clarified that this, I mean, universe, he as you know, universe. The word universe.
Universe.
Hmm. I see where you're going. I see where you're coming from, though, Fatani. That is possible.
And he had no, it wasn't a, that's not how he spoke. He was, he was very plain. He goes, yeah, I'm working on this project that, well, everybody in the universe is helping on. And so that blew my mind. Mm. And I was at dinner. And so, that blew my mind. But as going back to yeah, I believe it's some kind of, I'll say, negative entity.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because I don't think most of, well, do you guys hear much about abductions and things over there?
I mean, in the context of them happening in America. Yeah.
Curious.
Because I was wondering, I was like, do you, that's crazy, you know, to think that somebody that you guys don't talk about that.
Yeah.
That's,
well, I think it goes back to something that Fatani had asked that we need to kind of go back to. And I made a note here while you were asking your question, because I want to be fair to her and answer her question, because it's a good one. What needs to happen in order to make this more global and not localized here in America, right? Mm-hmm. And I think what needs to happen there is there needs to be some major event. And I can guarantee this, it will be a negative event more than likely. Mm-hmm. It'll be some kind of negative event that will provide pretty much irrefutable proof that, one, aliens exist, and two, they're here to do us harm. Mm. I think that when that event happens, I do not believe that it is actually going to be the aliens that do it. I think it's going to be something that we have orchestrated, and more than likely America has orchestrated in some way, in order to get everybody on the same page. Because, you know, when we have, and you guys probably experience this too, because it's human nature. There's a tremendous amount of division right now in America. And there's no better way to get everybody on the same page, but then also to give people instructions on what they need to do and to give them marching orders and have them follow them, like some kind of huge event like that. When it happens, it just kind of either binds everybody together from a unity perspective, or it makes everybody so afraid that they'll follow whatever they're being told to do.
COVID. I'm kidding.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
No, you're not.
No, you're not.
No, you're no, not. No. You're absolutely 100% right. Like, yeah. look what happened. And I don't know how bad things got over in the UK, but I mean, over here, you know, I went to work every day I felt like two axes hanging over my head. One was my employer, because are they going to step in line and just go ahead and take it upon themselves to tell me that I had to go get vaccinated or else I'm out of here. Mm. And two was our own government, because the government was and President Biden, who you can imagine we're not fans of, which nobody is really, but
yeah, that's a
mystery. He was basically going to Congress or trying to use OSHA, which is the federal program that we do for worker safety here. He was trying to mandate through OSHA that businesses had to do this. And thankfully, our Supreme Court shot that down, but he was trying to do that. So every day I went to work with two axes hanging over our heads. But that's the kind of evil, you know, that's behind some of the things that leak out, right, that we see. So I think that needs to happen as far as some kind of major global event or some kind of event to make it go global, right? But on the alien front, I do not believe they're demons, and I don't believe they're angels. I believe that they are actually entities from somewhere else. Mm. And I think that those entities, I think all of the times that I've seen what I would consider the best proof that they exist, they typically are benign, and we are the ones that are the aggressors, right? We're sending jets up after them, or we're doing something. The abduction stories are interesting, but I can't say for certain, you know, like where in there would we view that as a sin, right? Mm-hmm. Like at what point? And how does that even work if these really are entities that are from somewhere else outside of, you know, the world, our galaxy our solar system or whatever, even within, right? Not human. And I'm, you know, have some reasons why I don't feel like they're demons, just because it doesn't seem to line up with, you know, some of the scripture that we like to talk about on our show, which kind of wraps back into Genesis 6 a little bit. But, you know, I think that they're going to be painted in a certain light that is going to be negative, and I do not believe that they are actually have harmful intent.
Intent towards us.
So when you read scriptures like, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but powers and principalities and princes of the darkness and stuff like that, are you adding aliens into that based on what you've said, or are you saying we're turning them into an enemy when they're not presenting as that?
Yeah, I think it would be B. I think that we're turning them into something that they're maybe not, you know, who they are. And I remember very specifically for me, when I went from being on the fence on whether or not they exist to fully like, oh my goodness, this is a paradigm shift. And it really like, I had to get my head around it. Mm-hmm. And it really revolves around the story of a guy by the name of Bob Lazar, who we've talked about on the show before, but that's a fascinating story. And he actually was a whistleblower that came forward in, I believe, the early 90s or late 80s, one of the two. And he claimed that he worked out at Area 51, which is in Nevada out here, which is pretty much a desert, right? Mm-hmm. It's pretty vast. Yeah. There's not really much around. And just to show you how the government works, they denied for years when we were kids, like they denied even that Area 51 even existed. Like, you guys are crazy. It doesn't exist. And then over time, and this is what they always do, they reveal more and more. And now it's like, yeah, we've got it. So what? What are you going to do about it? You know, so people weren't crazy. It existed. Well, he claimed that he worked in a secret facility inside of Area 51, because Area 51 comprises a very large, like the government owns, I forget how much of the state of Nevada, a large portion of the state, and it's very isolated. So he claimed that he worked in a specific area inside of Area 51 called S2, and he was actually a physicist, and I forget what he was actually doing before, or chemist, one of the two, something along the lines of a cross between the two. And he was working for, I forget who it was at the time, another governmental agency, but he was a young guy and they basically came and approached him and said, hey, we've got this problem out here. We'd like you to try to come and solve it. Mm. And they took him out there and he says, they sat me down and they briefed me and they gave me this documentation that says we recovered this alien craft. We want you to specifically work on how the propulsion system works. Mm. And he said, it's very compartmentalized out there, right? Like one team works on propulsion. One team works on, you know, the alloys that it's made of. Another team does something else. Another team does something else. And he said, actually, that's not how you have creativity inside of a scientific space, because you need to be able to collaborate with all the groups because one group may discover something that another group would really help another group. Mm. He said, but in order to be secretive, they don't do that way. And it's actually hurt their ability to kind of reverse engineer this stuff. And I'm watching this and I'm like, just because of what I've done for my career, I have been around a lot of people that have been liars, right? And I have interviewed these people to try to get them to tell the truth. So I've got a pretty good nose for that stuff, I feel like. And I'm watching this dude and I'm like,
he's not lying.
I don't think this guy's lying. I think he's telling the truth. And it's blowing my mind right now, because if I believe this guy, this stuff is real. And as time has gone on now since then, you know, of course he was, you know, treated like he was a lunatic at the time and that he was just making this up. But there's record and proof that the government actually went and tried to kind of erase his history and erase his past and make it so that he was, you know, lying by getting rid of this stuff. And it's like, no matter how hard they tried, they did a poor job of it.
Yeah.
And you can go back and you can go talk to the people that he had worked with in the past. His name was actually in the phone book of where he was working before he was taken out to Area 51. Mm. And somehow he didn't miss that one. And, you know, people know him from when he was working in these other areas. And so I believe him to be true, but that is a fascinating story, probably the most fascinating for me, because I went to bed that night after kind of watching the interview with this guy. And I thought to myself, I'm like, this dude's legit. He's real. I believe what he's saying. So that was a huge paradigm shift for me in my brain, because, you know, I instantly went back to the Bible and I thought, okay, what does this do to my faith? Mm-hmm. You know? And what I've come to realize is the Bible is the story of us and the story of God with us, right? Because it specifically right out of the gate in Genesis, it zeroes in on the earth, right? The heavens and the earth.
Yeah.
And Christ was, created for
the earth,
for us to come and be a sacrifice for us, right? So who knows what another civilization, what their story is. I believe God created them the same he created us, but maybe they didn't fall, or maybe they have their own story and their own thing that we're not aware of. So that's kind of where I land with all the, how it matches into the Bible. I think the principalities and powers of darkness are very specific, because I think those are demons. Yeah. Those are the things that we've talked about, right? Demons, the Satan. Elohim. Yeah, the other Elohim nobody likes to talk about. The other small g gods that's referenced in Psalm 82.
Yeah.
You know?
And in Genesis, let us go down and destroy the tower.
Let us go down. Yeah. So that could mean a lot of things too. Mm. So you got to get into kind of some extra biblical texts in order to kind of figure out what we might be, who we may be talking about in those instances. But yeah, so I guess that's a really long-winded answer for me, but I think it's important to kind of highlight some of the things that where we are here and where there's some credibility behind some of this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad you gave that long-winded answer, because it's kind of answered a question that I was going to ask on the follow-up. That I'm just going to state now and see if you have anything else to add on that specific angle. Because what I understand that, obviously, one, the government is not trusted. Mm-hmm. They're throwing shade on the government.
Mm-hmm.
And two, we are not mixing demons and principalities with aliens. We are saying that's something specific. And three, we are not saying that these are human beings either.
Mm-hmm.
So aliens are standalone. Now, I understand, respect, and acknowledge the experiences that they've had with certain people that have shed a bit of light on them, you know, like the last story. And then obviously, Kyle then took that and then, you know, took into the Bible, you know. And the last point that you've just finished with is very important. Lisha, just before we started recording with you guys, Chin, they mentioned it actually, to say that, you know what, the Bible actually tells us the story that we need to know relevant to our salvation, right? Now, this is a Christian discussion. It's a Christian podcast. So something that I always like to do is sometimes zero in on that and say, okay, fine. For myself and listeners that have never maybe thought of the existence of alien, is there any specific biblical passages or evidence that hint or somewhat point towards other civilizations, let's say, in the universe out there? Or is it kind of something like what you've just said, that if you are not in it, technically you cannot know? One verse I can maybe throw to help you out. I was talking to Chin about this and Fatani before we started recording, sure, but we know that... Job, you remember the experience with Job when they all were in heaven, and you know the Bible says that all the sons of God had met, you know, and then God specifically is asking, let's say, Lucifer, Satan, where have you come from, you know, and is that all, I came from earth. So let's say there were 12 or 20 of them that had gathered, he specifically is coming from earth. One can assume that the rest came from elsewhere. Is this a verse that I guess you would use to prove that? And if so, are there any other verses that you would use to prove that in me as a believer, exploring evidence aliens. Of aliens in the Bible?
Extraterrestrial.
Aliens in the Bible.
Stick with aliens.
If we are just sticking with the Bible, then it would be us. It would be he came from earth. He came from our home.
Mm. Yeah.
Wandering to and fro. But what else is he gonna do? it was boring time probably for him, you know. I don't know. You know, there wasn't a lot to do then. I would say it's just the story of us.
Yeah.
I do share a little bit different view on it than Kyle, but that's okay. Mm. As far as...
I want to hear what the view is.
I know. Yeah. I have the right to be wrong, right?
We're sort of...
So we have two different views, balance.
One of the two views,
okay. Well, I think that they are some form of angel.
Right.
Because of the... all of the... abduction processes that have happened have been very medical, where they have taken eggs and sperm from people to create a hybrid, if you will. It's always been medical. And when you look at the book of Enoch, and it said God was like, this has never happened again, when they in Genesis 6, where the watchers came down and married women and had children with them, and that's where we get the Nephilim from, the giants or the offspring, and then that's where we get the demons from, is the, you know, the disembodied spirits of the kids. But I think it's some sort of angel. I could be wrong. I mean,
I wouldn't bet against you.
I'm going to take, do you guys know who Aleister Crowley is? Have you heard of Aleister Crowley before?
Sounds familiar, but I can't remember why. No.
He considered himself the beast.
Right.
He was a very evil, demonic man.
Right.
Okay.
He went to where actually he was from Britain. Came to America.
Good job, guys.
Well, if we produce something, we export all our problems.
We're Malawians, so
we export all our problems to America. That's what happens. Sorry, carry on.
Befriended L. Ron Hubbard, the founder of Scientology. Mm-hmm. This was back in the 20s and 30s. And L. Ron Hubbard befriended Jack Parsons, which was the founder of JPL, which was one of the founders of NASA and some other things. Mm-hmm. But Crowley was able to open up portals to other places, he said. And he drew this demon. He called it, the thing said it was a demon. Mm. And the demon said his name was Lamb, and it looked like an alien gray. And he was able to close it, the portal, with, he used, they said, Babylonian sex magic is what he did.
Okay.
And he died. and L. Ron Hubbard and Jack Parsons go to the desert Nevada, mm-hmm. and they open this portal, yeah. and that is where Area 51 is because they couldn't close it.
Right.
And so,
you know,
so if
okay, no, I'm not validating anything. It's interesting, but I actually do remember watching. That's not the first time I've heard that. I actually do remember watching a documentary where someone was explaining that, yeah, about the port, especially the language of the portal, saying that there's a portal that was open, and I think they were explaining something about the dam as well. There's a big dam in. What's it called?
Yeah, the Hoover Dam.
Your famous dam. What is it? It's got angels.
Yeah, the Hoover Dam.
That's where Megatron is.
Yeah.
the Transformer.
Yes. the documentary. No. Anyway, I just find it interesting because I definitely have heard the stories around like the portal and the dam and stuff like that. And yeah, no, carry on. My mind is
Edison. No, that's fine. And the alien gray, as we call it, said he was a demon. Mm-hmm. Now, if we just go by language, you know, when I was a kid, I'll be honest, I hoped for aliens because I lived in the country and we would see crazy things in the sky. And I wanted to believe it. But the older I got, and this is crazy, the closer my relationship with God got, that went away. All I wanted to know was, where do I rank with God? That was the most important thing.
Amen.
And anymore, it's that's all I care about. I do still slip and fall down, but he is always in my gaze, yeah. no matter where I'm at.
Amen.
I think we have to remember that.
So just to
think it's valid
for understanding's sake, when you say alien gray, what do you mean by that?
They're the big head, big eyes.
Right. Okay. So the typical image of aliens that we have. Gray. Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely amazing.
I think from the angelic perspective, though, like I kind of joked earlier that I couldn't bet against Ben because what do we know about that story? Well, we know that angels have sinned, right? And they do fall. And we can clearly see, because it's amazing to me how all of these conversations always come back to Genesis 6 in some way. It's so critical to understanding the nature of the spiritual warfare that we're in and where we really come from. And I think that information, we both feel this way. I think I can say, you know, for both of us, that we feel like that is definitely being suppressed and has been for quite a long time. But what we do learn just from the Bible, if you don't want to stretch outside and reach, you know, Enoch and Jubilees and some of these extra biblical texts, okay, fine, let's just stay inside the Bible. We can clearly see in that story that angels, you know, fell and decided to, you know, breed with human women. And we also know kind of the story of Satan. It's sparse, but it's in the Bible in a couple different places. How he and his angels also. So we have this angelic fall that has happened not once, but it looks like twice. So we know angels can sin. The other thing that we see in Genesis 6 is it happened after the flood as well. Something had to happen in order to create Nephilim again, because we know that there were, right? There were giants after the flood. And it seems to fit with our story as human beings. And you can go read the Old Testament and you want to smash your head against a wall because you're like, oh, these hard-headed people just over and over and over and over again. Keep doing the same things over and over. But then again, you know, we see this spread over, you know, thousands of years. But we look at us and here we are. You know, if you go back and you look at all the things that were happening before the flood or that were happening, you know, after the flood and we started falling again, we're doing them all again today. And, you know, we're really fond on the opposite side in the New Testament, the words of Christ, where as it was in the days of Noah,
we quote that every all the time
because we can see it, right?
So it shall be
all of the things that you can imagine that were happening during the days of Noah are happening again. And I think that the alien discussion could potentially fall into that category. I'm not completely sold that they're angels. I'm more in the alien camp. That's kind of what I lean towards, obviously, given what I said. But I think it's a possibility because of what we know about how God's creation, he gives everything free will, right? And everything can sin. Even Christ was capable of sin. Some would think that that maybe would be blasphemous, but I can prove it to you. Why would Christ bother to take him out and tempt him if he knew he couldn't sin?
That's a fair
or point. The devil, rather. Why would the devil take him out and try to tempt him if he knew he couldn't sin? He wouldn't have done it. So, you know, we just know that that's a possibility.
Yeah.
The other day I was driving, and this was a crazy thought that I had. I was just like looking out in an open field, and I was like, wonder if there is a war going on over there that I cannot see.
Oh, yeah.
Right. You remember that experience?
Yeah, when his eyes were open and he saw the army, I was like, raw, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And he was like,
God doesn't change, right? I'm the Alpha and the Omega. God doesn't change. We have this misunderstanding, I think, a lot of times in church that the Old Testament is the God of wrath and the New Testament is the God of love and justice and peace and all that. And that's not the case. You know, God never changes. He's the same all the time. What we can see in the Old Testament is thousands and thousands of years played out in, you know, a few pages. And in the New Testament, we literally have, what, 90 years, maybe not even 90 years. No. It's more like, you know, 60 years, because we kind of have the last few years of Christ. And then we have, you know, the newest book in the Bible is Revelation, which is actually written, I think they think 90 AD or something like that. So we have this short compressed time space where we seem to think that, you know, the New Testament is X and the Old Testament's Y. And it's like, no, God never changes. Mm. He's the same today as he was yesterday.
I got a question for you guys. Mm-hmm. What would your book be in the Bible? What would your story about what has God done for you be?
Sorry, repeat the question.
What would your story about what God has done be if it was to be condensed into a book?
Oh, so which book of the Bible?
Yeah, mine would be Job.
No, I mean your story.
What would your
like? You'd be a new book.
You would be a new book.
What would your new book look like? What would you talk about?
Oh, well, what would you talk? Well, that's a big question, wouldn't it?
Mine.
So you mean like if there was a book in the book in the Bible called Fatani 1:1? That's yes. What you mean, okay?
Yes, exactly.
Yes, what would it be?
My book is still being written, but I can tell you something. I am strongly convinced of it would not be a common story. I strongly believe I'm destined for greatness. I think I will do something that will leave a mark on this planet. Do you remember the story of David's three commanders? You remember when he was thirsty?
Oh, yeah.
They were like, don't worry, we'll go get you something. And they fought against an army just to draw water and he came back. My story will look something like that. I don't know what it is that I'm going to do yet. If I die trying to achieve it, that's fine. But if I do achieve it, my book would be otherworldly. It would be something like that.
Otherworldly. I'm glad you know.
Greatness.
That is such a great question.
It is an amazing question.
I've never thought of that question.
The moral of the story would be something that we've heard of. It's a repeating theme. And that is basically my life would be to achieve the will of God, to fulfill what God has done. So I am a servant.
Yeah, yeah.
Something like, what's this guy?
Amen.
Long hair.
Samson.
A Samson story. What's his name? The 300 guy.
Every single story in the Bible.
No, I'm picking specific people. You know the guy that read the 300 army?
Oh, Gideon.
A Gideon story. So that's what I want to
war, believe. War, really. It's going to be a war story.
But we're You're not fighting. I'm not going to Iraq. I'm not going to
Ukraine. The three scenarios you've given are fighting soldiers.
Modernize that.
You've got the mighty warriors. You've got Gideon. You've got Samson. All fighters.
I'm not going to join no war. An internal
armor of God. That's an interesting.
I think
that's
a very good question. I would be able to condense my story into the verse, heavily paraphrased, that says, if you want to be great in God's kingdom, learn to be a servant of all. I would say, I don't know if these two next to me would agree. I think a lot of my life so far and where I see it heading is all about serving others. Whether I whether I like it or not. And I think at the minute, that's my personal spiritual battle. Who do I serve and who do I not serve? But then is that my choice or is that God's decision? What factors do I need to consider in the people that I'm serving? You've annoyed me, therefore I'm not going to do this thing for you, or I've done this thing for you 200 times already. Do I continue doing it even though you are not changing your spots? Do I change my spots to then meet your needs, or do I change my spots to meet my needs? So yeah, my story would be one of servitude basically.
Servitude story. Interesting. Okay. Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's an interesting question. If I had to answer it, having thought about it for 2 minutes, I think my story would be akin to the story of Solomon, I think. And by that, I mean someone who puzzles with the questions of life. So
this Solomon will have one wife. This Solomon's gonna have one wife.
I'm talking about someone who puzzles and wrestles with the truths of life, right? And God's truths, but also how those truths play out in our everyday life, in humanity's life. So, and the reason why, I guess, if I had to think about it, I would go there is because obviously you have stories like Songs of Solomon and Proverbs, where I guess he's looking at one aspect of life, you know, the wisdom and whatnot. But then you have other passages like Lamentations, for example, where he's looking at a different aspect of life. But all of that, all of that sort of concludes into what life is. You know, it's one of those, there is a time to cry, there is a time to be happy. You know, there is a time to do this, there is a time to do this. So, yeah, I think it would be the fourth book of Solomon, my life story.
I have something cool to say. Oh, so technically,
gosh. The fact that you have to preface it with, I have something cool to
have,
say.
What you have here, you have the leader of men, you have the serpent of men, and you have the wisdom of men.
Oh, jeez.
It's like God needed you to put together.
Can we send him to you?
You're happy to have me. What's your address?
How much do you weigh for the FedEx label? I don't think you'd want to be here because it snowed yesterday. We got like 4 inches of snow.
Yeah.
So
I'm not too upset at that, to be fair with you. I do prefer summer, I think, now that I think about it. But we haven't seen proper snow in a very long time. No, I am starting to miss it so much.
No.
It's just the country is never prepared. No matter how many years it snowed, it's like you have a wee little bit of snow, England shuts down. Children can't go to school.
Yeah.
Ambulances can't go out. People can't go to work. You know, it's like, guys, we knew this was going to happen.
And they always tell you a week in advance. It's going to snow next week. And yet and the country still shuts down. It's great.
Yeah.
Love it.
Oh, thank you for that question. That was an amazing question, actually.
Okay.
No, I've asked Kyle that before, and we've talked about it.
Yeah.
We've even talked about it on the show. We need to be mindful of God and do his work.
Yeah.
I mean, every day, even if we're washing dishes, you know, you need to have an open mind to God.
100%. Yeah. I'm really weird when it comes to probably most guys. I've said this before, and I don't have any aspirations of like leaving a legacy of any kind. You know, I know that's kind of strange, but because at the end of the day, what are you going to leave a legacy? I mean, for me, the way I look at it is I leave a legacy, but it's only going to be for however much longer we have until this show's over. Exactly. Right? My legacy is in the kingdom.
Amen.
You know, that's with all my loved ones there. So my job is to get them there. And I've kind of always had that thought, but that's really been reinforced for me as I continued to really grow as a Christian over the last probably 4 or 5 years. I like to say that I was the most dangerous type of Christian. I was a lukewarm Christian for 40 years. You know, I grew up in the church, but I was useless to God. Doesn't mean I was living a life that was, you know, bad or anything like that. It's just I wasn't living a life that's in accordance with his will and using my gifts for him and really seeking out what he wanted me to do and what he wanted me to be. And now that I do that, oh, it's so much more fulfilling. It really is. Mm. So, you know, it's fun to talk about things like this, but at the end of the day, man, it's like, well, if I come and get abducted by an alien and I'm never seen again, it's only for a little bit of time. Or if I have a demon that wants to get a hold of me, good luck, because I know where I rank in the kingdom of God, and yeah. I outrank you, Mr. Demon. Bye. So good luck with that. But this show is going to be over at some point. And
sooner or later.
You know, no matter, we just don't know how long that is, right? Not even Christ knew how long that was going to be. We can only look around us and see it sure doesn't look like it's going to be much longer, especially with some of the things that we're getting into.
Mm. Yeah.
Amen. So, prepare for the kingdom.
Mm. Yeah, 100%. And I think that's a very, very important point to say that, you know, we have these discussions left, right, and center, and that's fine, because just before this, we're talking about enjoying the word of God. You know, sometimes you can read a verse and you enjoy it, you go off on a tangent talking about hypothetical scenarios. All that is just enjoying the word. Ultimately, though, what matters is salvation, right? It's knowing Christ and
absolutely, 100%.
And being known by Christ.
By the same time, we still live in a world where things are happening, so our curiosities will be
100%.
And we still need to be able to explore if there is anything God says about
topic.
So,
We shouldn't stick our heads in the sand, right? Yeah. And ignore the things that are going on around us. We just need to, be open to those things, be able to think for ourselves, but more over than that, go into scripture and go, you know, it's amazing. There's very few things that you can't go into scripture and not find. And most of the time you can find it multiple times, know, and God's word is God's word, and it's there to help guide us and lead us.
Yeah.
At all times, for all situations.
100%. Okay, so we have only scratched the surface, right? Mm-hmm. And what I will say to our listeners is that if you find this topic interesting, do check out the podcast by Carl and Ben, because I think they spent about close to 2 hours just on the topic alone. Mm. And it was just them two. So obviously they got deeper into details and stuff like that. Mm. So this was just to whet the appetite of just scratch the surface. Mm. But what I want to finish on then is an interesting thought that I had, I think it was two nights ago. Now, I struggle to sleep. So recently I've started watching, and I love space. I love sci-fi, space, all that jazz. So I was watching a documentary where they're talking about, you know, humans creating spacecraft and how, I guess, what colonizing other planets will look like. You know, the technology that's being built right now. Technology is an aspect that we didn't get to as well. I wanted to touch that, but that does matter. The technology that's being built right now that would sort of enable humans to colonize other planets. So my questions for everybody here is, do you think humans will colonize other planets before Christ returns?
That's a good one. Go ahead, Ben. What do you think?
Well, going back to, this is crazy. Elon Musk, there was a book written, what was it, the 40s or 50s, that the main character, his name was Elon in it, and he built a rocket and he started a colony on Mars. Speaking of prophets being revealed and things like that, prophecy.
Yeah.
The fact that he's trying to do that, you know, we're seeing it in our own time. I don't know. I don't know if I'd want to be going up in a spaceship and going to another place by myself or with somebody that I don't know. And I don't know if I'd want to live with them. You know, that's the thing. People, you put somebody in a tin can long enough.
What if the second coming doesn't go to those planets? What then? You're kind of stuck there, aren't you?
Yeah,
you are. You know what? What then will be, we'll just screw that one up the same as we screwed this one up.
That's true. That's true. That's very true.
That's true.
And my thing, the whole thing is, we don't even have a good, camera on a bank. But their technology that shows all these little drones and everything on other planets are, like, crystal clear.
Yeah.
You know, and then with Nixon making the phone call to the Apollo people.
Oh, yeah.
And he's on a corded phone, you know. Now, is it all corded and it's just got a really long extension cord that we're gonna power these other places? I don't know. You know, it's just the whole thing is crazy to me because God created the earth for man.
Yeah.
We What makes man think we can destroy this? If God created it, we can't destroy it. Mm-hmm. Now, we need to be stewards of it. We need to take care of it. But we can't destroy it. Nothing that man makes is going to destroy what God made.
Yeah.
Only God can do that.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's very arrogant of us to think that way. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. You know, that's a great question. And, you know, at first my brain went to, I wouldn't be surprised if we already had, but I don't think so. And here's why, because what followed after that was really scripture. And I do believe it says in Revelation, now I'd want to pull the verse up to make sure that I'm not misquoting it, but it does say, gather my elect from the four corners of the earth. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that if there's one thing that I've learned as I've matured as a Christian is that God's word is written on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And Christ, the things that he said and the things that he did were definitely done on multiple levels. Mm-hmm. And I think that those words were specifically chosen because those are Christ's words in Revelation, right? There's only like seven books of the Bible or something like that where Christ actually has red letters, right, where he spoke, and Revelation is one of them. So I don't think we're going to get there. And one of the things that makes me think we don't have a lot of time left to get there is the evil of man. Mm. And if you look around, the things that we're now doing is we're getting into genetic manipulation. And we're starting to play God more and more every day. And I think that the scientific side of the coin, the genetic manipulation and some of the stuff that we're getting into on that front is our modern day Tower of Babel. I think God is going to see that and God is going to pull the plug on this. And that's going to be the end of the show. Because once we do that, what kind of abominations are we going to make? Or it'll happen, and shortly after it starts to happen, which I think it's probably already started to happen. We just don't hear a lot about it. God's going to shut down the show.
Yeah. The Neuralink?
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff, like genetic manipulation. I mean, they're 3D printing organs now, which necessarily isn't a bad thing, because if it prolongs life and the intent of and the heart behind it is good. But if it's it seems like we're trying to, you know, for someone that is not a Christian, we're trying to march down these two roads of playing God. We want to extend life indefinitely, and we want to be able to create life.
Yeah.
And I think that when God destroyed the earth in the flood, I think that's exactly what they were doing. Mm-hmm. I think that those angels, once they started to have offspring, I think they started to genetically manipulate things. And I think that's why God is so specific when he's talking to Noah and he says, only bring stuff on that's like its kind. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think and it says that they had corrupted all flesh, or all flesh had corrupted its way.
Corrupted, yeah.
Yeah. And I think that that's very specifically said because of what I just said. That's my take on it anyway. I think the technology, first of all, the technology is scary because whatever we know is out there and exists, I can tell you this, the US government is probably anywhere between 50 and 75 years ahead of where we are now.
Yeah.
What we know. And I think your government's probably the same way. Yeah. Any major government out there, they're going to have access to things, technology that you have no idea that they have.
Yeah. To be fair, I think that's just a fact, because things like Wi-Fi, you know, mobile phones and stuff, they were there long before they became consumable.
Oh yeah.
Consumable items. Because right now, you know, it's just that technology becomes consumable. But Kyle and Ben, listen, it seems like we'll talk to you guys for a while. So we are going to have to bring it to an end. We're going to end on two statements, right? And
I thought it was a three-hour show. What are you doing?
We're going to end on two statements, and the two statements are going to come from Kyle and Ben, right? And the statements are this. Well, the statements will be around this question. If this was your last conversation, so after this conversation, there's no more podcast, there's more, no more whatever. This statement that you're going to say now is the statement that is going to be your last statement to the world. What is your message to the world?
Oh, wow. You want to go first? You want me to go first?
Oh, man.
That's a good question.
I know.
You need a minute? I know what mine would be. All right. Mine would be this. I don't know where you are right now in your life. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what your experience is with the church. But I do know this. the Bible is real. The things in it are accurate. It's historically accurate. We prove it more every day. It's scientifically accurate. We prove it more every day. God is very real, and so is Christ. And Christ says specifically that the only way to experience eternal life is through him. Mm-hmm. And the minute you make the decision to follow Christ, that's the beginning of your journey, not the end. Mm-hmm. You need to take the step forward when you get a new heart, and you need to literally change your life, and you need to seek after God from that point forward. You need to literally read your come towards God like a small child does. And Christ had this example for us. And I can just tell you from my own experience, when I started to do that, God has enriched my life. I'm sitting right next to one of the enrichments right here, because that happened after I started to do that. And all of this, we wouldn't be having this conversation today. Mm-hmm. Everything that is good in my life, God brought to me.
Amen.
And all the bad things that he had me go through and temper me with fire, he brought to me too. And I'm thankful for both. But turn your lives over to Christ, and when you start to do that, God's plan for you is so much better than whatever your plan for you is, or what the world's going to tell you you should do, or whatever. Mm. That is where you find true contentment and fulfillment in this life. And until you do that, you're going to just keep searching for nothing. Mm. It's absolutely like Solomon. It's like the wind, right? Amen. You're just chasing after the wind.
Amen.
If this was my last statement ever,
you got Thanos'd.
Yes. I would probably, first thing, I would make sure that my wife and kids knew that I love them. Mm-hmm. Because that's, without my wife in my life, she's my rudder.
Amen.
She steers where I need to go, and she corrects me when I need to be. She's like my voice, my personal voice of God. Mm-hmm. I bounce things off of her, and she'll be like, "Nope, that you shouldn't do that. That's kind of dumb." Nope. At one point, I told her I had this idea, and first time she ever told me that I was crazy. And you have to listen to that. That would be the first thing, because they are like what God gave me. Mm-hmm. But as far as to the world, I would say, you guys, the world needs Christ. You can bend your knee willingly, or you can have him bend it for you. Mm-hmm. That's the only two ways. Because when you bend it willingly, it's gentle. He will pick you up, and he will hold you in his hand, and he will carry you where you need to go, not where you want to go, where you need to go, by his hand, not yours. And that through his blood, we are saved. Nobody comes to Christ except the Spirit called them.
Amen.